Exodus chapter 2. Get me up just a little bit, brother. I'm going to read you some scripture this morning about one of the great mothers in the Bible. And this great mother, in my mind, sticks out as one of the greatest. Her name is Jochebed. And she's the mother of Moses. And this woman, she done a great job under circumstances that were a lot less than ideal. And I admire extremely mothers who do a good job raising their kids against circumstances that they're in. God's got a great crown laid up in heaven, no doubt, for mothers who stood against, stayed with a wicked husband and tried to raise kids right and everything working against her. I'll tell you, my hat's off to them. They're heroes. Sheroes or something. Exodus chapter 2 this morning, I'm beginning reading with verse number 1 and read this story. Here it is in verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child. That means a good looking, cute little young'un. She hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off, to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. Good Bible word, fetch. Yankees ain't got no sense. It's in the Bible. Don't let nobody make fun of you for saying fetch. That's a good laugh at them because they're not educated. Verse 6. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, because she said, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject of great mother's faith. I think one of the greatest women in the Bible is this woman, Jochebed. She lived in a dangerous time. A Hebrew slave, this woman was a slave to King Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And she bore a man child. Her faith was put to the test. Now, if you know anything about the Bible, you know that during this time, Pharaoh was threatened because the Hebrews were multiplying so fast. And he was afraid that they were going to just grow up and kind of take over. And so he passed a law that all Hebrew baby boys would be killed. He said, if it's a girl, let it live. If it's a boy, kill it. We don't want no Hebrew baby Jew boys alive. Now, it was during this time that baby Moses was born, and there's just no way to describe this woman's love and a faith except just by amazing. I mean, she had it, ain't no doubt about it. Now, I want to say 3 things about her faith this morning, and I'll let you go. And it's first one is the hazards to her faith. Notice the hazards to her faith. The decree of Pharaoh in chapter 1, verse 22 was, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river. Now just imagine, say you're a woman pregnant with a man child, and this little boy was going to be born, and they passed a law that as soon as that baby was born, they was going to take it and cast it into a river. If you're much of a woman at all, that would disturb you very much. It would be all to pieces. You'd say, no, not my baby. How can that happen? Please, God, don't let that happen to my boy. Nowadays, there's a lot of women that wouldn't even care. Back then, in the old days, women were proud to bear children. It was something to be proud of. It was something they were glad about. This modern generation of women nowadays are kind of weird. You know it? They really are. They're kind of weird. They're backwards from what the Bible said was honorable to a woman. And she had hazards to her faith. The decree was, kill the baby boy. Notice the danger of it. She bore the baby, and she went ahead and had him and hid him for 3 months. She defied the king's commandment and risked her life to save her boy. Now imagine this. You know, when a woman first gets pregnant, I've seen a lot of them, heard a lot of them say that morning sickness, they call it morning sickness, is pretty rough. I mean, there's for a while there, those first little while, till you throw up and throw up and throw up, and some women have it worse than others. Now imagine, say, I can't imagine this, but just say you're a woman, you got a little baby inside you growing up, and you get up every morning. Blah. You don't want no breakfast. You don't want nothing to eat. All you want to do is, you know what? I mean, you just want to throw it up, and you go through that day after day. I hardly ever get nauseated sick like that, just very, very seldom, thank the Lord. I can't hardly stand it. That's the awfulest feeling in the world. There's a guy took me up being a missionary on an airplane out here one day, and I fly all the time. Flying an airplane don't bother me as far as getting sick goes. I don't ever get sick on an airplane. Just have maybe once in 20 years. And he took me on a little bitty plane. And he took me around. He was going to show me the camp and show me the school. And he's, you know, you're flying. It feels like you're in a Volkswagen with wings flying. That's what them little ones feel like. And you're flying around like that. He said, you want to see the school? Yeah. You know, and oh boy. And he said, you want, or the church. But he said, right down there is McDowell High School. Right over here is Lake James. And boy, you just feel like everything. You feel like the world's turning upside down. I started getting sick. And I usually don't do that. I was sitting here and the missionary's sitting right behind me. And I thought, thinking, boy, I hope he levels this thing out. And I just got to where I just looked down like that a little bit. And looked back like this. And I thought, if I just look straight ahead like you're in a car, you can't stop and pull off and get out, walk around and get fresh air like you can like you're up in the mountains or something. And man, I'm telling you what, we was going up there and he kept doing this and doing that. And I thought, Lord, if he don't quit this, it's coming. It's coming. I'd hate to throw up. He had a nice carpet in that. Where are you at? He might be here this morning. Are you here, Gene? He must be going to see his mama. He comes here to our church, and Gene runs the airport out there, and he flew me around, and then he said, we was going pretty fast, and then he said, watch this. He laid a comb up on the dash. He said, I'll make that comb become weightless. I said, oh, Lord, don't let him do that. What he's going to do, he's just going to dip down real fast, and that comb was going to float. I said, I'm telling you, if he does this, I don't know if I can hold it. I hold it, and hold it, and hold it, and hold it. I was sitting there like this. Like my face must have been green, man. And we was going there, and I thought, this is horrible. I laid down. When I got out of that thing, we finally got down. Missionary spoke up and said, brother, I don't believe I'd do that. He was sick too. He had enough guts to speak up. I was just going to sit there and tough it out. I wasn't dare going to tell him I was sick. I was just going to sit there and say, all right, Lord, whatever happens is going to happen. I ain't going to say nothing because they're going to think I'm a sissy or something. And we got down. That missionary said, brother, I don't know about you, but I was about to die up there. He said, I'm sick as a dog. And I said, man, he had new carpet and that thing. Missionary said this. He said, I had already decided that, you know, if it come up, that I was just going to pull my shirt out and do like this. That's what he said. Go right down the belly. So he wouldn't mess up that guy's plane. But I want to tell you, we got home that day, and I went and laid down. Was it about my nap time? And I laid down and went to sleep, and it took me to late that night to start feeling good. That's an awful feeling. And I'm telling you, the way them ladies tell it, is it kind of like that, ladies? Thank God I ain't no woman. Don't have to have no baby. Woo! That would be horrible. I can't imagine every day, for weeks and weeks and weeks. And by the way, some of you little brats in here, before you start fussing at mama and griping about mama, you better thank God she was willing to go through all of that just to bring your little sorry carcass into this world to start with. Amen? Your mama brought you into this world. She went through all that with baby Moses. She got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm telling you, she looked like she's going to pop, man, before that thing was over with. And finally, he was born. 9 months. When she saw it as a little boy, they didn't do ultrasounds, all that stuff back in. She saw it's a little boy. She said, I can't, the devil's not going to get him. I'm not going to let Pharaoh have my boy. No, no, no. And a lot of other women, they're just saying, well, here, baby boy, it's the law. Turn it in, throw him in the river. But Moses' mother, listen to me, ladies. Moses' mother stepped up and said, I will not let the devil have my boy. He's not going to get him. That's all there is to it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll do whatever I have to do. But I'm not going to let the devil have my young'un. That's what we need, some mothers today that will say the same thing. We're not going to let the devil have our boys. We're not just going to have them and throw them to the world. That's why Christian school's so important. That's why Christian home's so important. That's why a good church is so important. You're not supposed to just have kids and throw them to this world to devour them and ruin their life. Amen? God, give us some mothers that'll have some young'uns and say, hey, I'm going to train them up in the ways of the Lord, and I'm not going to let this world have my kids. This philosophy nowadays of letting the world raise our kids, by the time they're 2 weeks old, they're stuck in a daycare somewhere, or put into a nursery, and then in a daycare, and then the public school gets them until they're 17, and by then they're ruined, most of them. Now, I want to say to you this morning, this mother said, I will not let the devil have my boy. I'm not going to let Pharaoh have him. I'm going to risk my life. Can you imagine? She hid him for 3 months after he was born. They took census. They had these guards walking down the street. I heard a baby cry. Knock on the door. Yes, sir. You got any babies in this house? Yes, sir. God, please help me. God, please don't let him ask to come in and look. God, please don't let him do it. God, please. About that time, they heard a siren cross town. The guy had to leave. Thank God. See, you got to know the history like I know to know that stuff. I just thought that up right then. But anyway, something happened, brother, that she hit him for 3 months. Can you imagine? No social events 3 months, mamas. Moses' mother couldn't go nowhere for 3 months. Couldn't go out in public. I know some of you said, oh, I've been cooped up with this little brat for 3 days. I've got to get out of here. Go dump him on mama and take you up, go off to a party somewhere. 3 months, she never left. You know, we don't have mothers like we used to have them, do we? And some of y'all are looking awful guilty, I reckon because y'all are guilty. But I'll tell you what, there was a time in this country when a woman's life was her kids. I mean, everything she had and done was wrapped up in her kids. I mean, she lived for her kids. She walked for her kids. She worked for her kids. Her whole life was wrapped up in her kids. And if you took those kids, you might as well just kill her. I mean, she lived for those kids. That woman had, her hazards were, he was going to be killed, but she hid him for 3 months. I don't know what she did. Every time the soldiers would walk by, she'd say, no, honey, baby Moses, be quiet, honey. Be quiet, honey. Shh, be quiet. Put his passy in his mouth. Shh. He's going, well, shut up, honey. They're going to get you. They're going to get you. She hit him for three months. She put her, she said, honey, be quiet. They're going to throw you in the river. They're going to get you in the river. You're going to be fish bait, man, if you open your mouth one more time. 3 months, buddy. 3 months. 3 months she hid that little baby. And then notice her dilemma, the hazards to her faith. She could no longer hide him. Maybe rumors were going around that she was hiding a baby boy. Maybe word got out. I heard this woman live right down the street here, had a baby boy, and I heard her down there praying for him one night and talking to him. And maybe he's crying loud. I don't know. They say little boys are a lot meaner than little girls. And I believe that. I believe that, don't you? All you mothers would agree with that. Little girls are easier to raise when they're little, and they'll drive you nuts when they get big because the wicked boys have done got big. But did you know something? Listen, did you know something? She couldn't hide him anymore, but she still did not give up. She didn't say, oh, well, it's been 3 months, and now I got to give Moses to the world. No, sir. She said, no, sir, not getting my boy. How are you going to pay his tuition? I don't know. How are you going to keep him in Christian school? I don't know. But by the grace of God, I'm not going to give up. They're not getting my boy. Notice secondly this morning, the hiding place of her faith. The hiding place. The hazards to her faith. Second, the hiding place of her faith. He was hidden in her prayers. I believe she dedicated him to God and interceded for his welfare and safety. I believe that she's like that mama that Billy Sunday visited that time. And he came to a house and knocked on the door. Little kid come to the door. He said, excuse me, honey, is your mama home? He said, yes. He said, can I see her? No. Why can't I see Mama? He said, Mama prays from 9 to 10. It's 9:30, you have to come back at 10 if you don't see my Mama. One more time for you that missed it. He said, Mama prays from 9 to 10. What does you mamas do from 9 to 10 every morning? I don't know what's on that time of day. Soap opera's on yet? As the stomach turns? Hey, you're sitting there filling your mind full of trash and adultery and filth. This mama prayed from 9 to 10 every morning. And I'm telling you, this woman, she had the hiding place of her faith. She prayed, God protect him, God protect him, God protect him. Every day, she'd get little Moses down and she'd say, oh God, please don't let Pharaoh get him. God, please don't let him get my boy. God, please don't let him get my boy. God, please don't let him. God, please don't let him. That was the hiding place of her faith. And one day while she's praying, she had this idea. And she thought, I know what I'll do. He was hidden in her purpose. See, she saw that he was a goodly child. That means she just thought he's the most beautiful thing in the world. Most women do think that about their babies. I never have seen a pretty baby. When they're, see that? I mean, after they get a few months old, they look all right. But to me, you ever seen them brand new in the hospital? Lord have mercy. They all look deformed. They look over it. To me, a newborn baby, mothers say, oh, he's beautiful. Look at him, preacher. And I say, he's a healthy looking thing, ain't he? Here's the way he looks. And their face is real red, and they stay there. Their head's whopsided, man. They're out of proportion. Head's real big. Body's real little. Belly sticks out. They look like one of them little UFO occupants, some of them, brother. But I want to tell you what, I'm telling you, man, when they get 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, then they get cute to me. I think they get cute. But to a mother, she looked, seen that little baby and said, oh, he's just a little baby doll. He's just the most pretty thing in the world. Oh, isn't he beautiful? They take every one of their fingers and look at them, every one of them. Look at them. They look at all of them to make sure they got their toes. And they go all over them. And mother, I've seen them lay there in the hospital, just go around their ears and look the shape of their ears and everything. She saw that he was a goodly child. And he was hidden in her purpose. She somehow felt God had a plan for him. Her home, by the way, ladies, her home and her young'uns was her career. You cannot have a greater career as a woman besides raising your family to serve God and honor God. Well, that was a weak amen from a bunch of people supposed to believe the Bible. So I'm not going to have kids and let them stand in the way of my career. You got your priorities screwed up. Hey, the greatest thing in the world that you can do is bear a child and raise it for God. Amen. The hiding place of her faith. He was hidden in her love. She risked all to save him. Did you know mother's love is the greatest love in the world besides God's love? Did you know the closest you'll ever get to God's love is mother's love? You know these women stood outside of prison gates and bars out there because their boy's in there and afraid they wasn't going to feed him and wouldn't take care of him and stand there and get to see him every day when he comes out for lunch? You don't see me and daddy's doing that. Really, you don't. You give a man a baby. Well, hey there, goo goo go, you throw him up a time or two, he'll hand him back to mama. She sticks her hip out like that and sets him on there. I don't know how that comes way out here, man. And they can walk around like that. Carry him for hours and hours and hours. That's the way a mama is. That's the way a mama is. Strongest love known to man inside of God loves is mama's love. I asked a little boy one time in math class. They said, say you got a pie at home. And there's 10 people in your family. And you're all going to divide the pie. What portion of the pie would you get? And the kid that's doing fractions. The kid said, 1/9. They said, no, honey, you're wrong. He said, if there was 10 people in your family, mother, dad, 8 kids, and you had a pie, and you was all going to divide it, I'll get a piece, what would be your piece? He said, 1/9. They said, honey, you're wrong. There's 10 of you. There's 10 of you. He said, no. He said, I'd get a 1/9 of it. They'd say, why? He'd say, mama would say she didn't want no pie. Mama would say she didn't want no pie. Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth, brother? Ain't that the truth? God have mercy on these heathen that mama lives right down below them or across the way and let mama starve to death and do without while they ride around and live it up. Ain't you glad she didn't treat you when you was little like you treat her now? Amen? The hiding place of her faith. So you know what she did? She took him and she said, "All right, I can't hide you any longer, but I'm going to put you in this little box right here." And she opened this thing up. And boy, she put little baby Moses down there and put some hay in there and put some little goose down pillar or something and put him in there and put his baba over here and she put his passy over here just so he could just turn his head and get whichever one he wanted. Like that. If he wanted the real milk, he turned this way. If he just wanted to play, he looked the other way. And I tell you what, buddy, he turned his head back and forth, and he laid there, and she daubed that thing with pitch. That's like tar, and made it waterproof. And she took that little box, and she said, "God, that'd be hard to do, wouldn't it, ladies?" She said, "God, I don't know what's going to happen to him, but by faith, I'm putting him in your hands." By faith, she went down to the river. She said, "God, Lord, I'm not going to let Pharaoh have this little boy. I'm not going to do it by faith." And ladies, that's what you're going to have to do. You know what Moses' mother's a picture of here? She's a picture of all you mothers that now have a son out in the world or a daughter out in the world, and it's out of your control now. And all you can do now is just trust God and pray that He'll take care of them and bring them back one day. And I know there's a lot of you here this morning that you say, "Oh, Brother Danny, I wasn't in church when my boy was little. Or somehow or another, my boy got out of God's will, or he's out in sin. What am I going to do? I can't even talk to him. He won't come to church with me." He's down yonder in the bulrushes. He's down there in the river. He's out there. All you can do is just pray, "God, don't let the devil get him. God, don't let the devil get my boy." And brother, this story ought to be an encouragement to all you ladies that have kids out in the world. God did protect this little boy. And God, Lord looked down, she put him down in the bulrushes. He said, "Shh, be quiet now, honey." Put him down like that. Number three, notice the harvest of her faith. She reaped the blessing. We see the rescue of Moses. It just so happened, here come Pharaoh's daughter down there to take a bath. And she's coming down there like this, and she's got all her maidens with her, and they've got her towels hanging over her arm like this, and they got all kinds of lilac soap and herbal essence shampoo and all kind of lotion, all kind of junk, man. And they had her hair dryer and mousse and hair spray and spritz and some of that stuff like super glue, man, something like that. And they come down through there and she said, "I'll take a bath right here." Just right before that, a bunch of soldiers walked down by the river. Moses getting aggravated. Lord says, "Shh." He don't say a word. Pharaoh's daughter goes down in the water. She takes a step down. It's up to about right here. And she's washing off, you know, like this. And she looks, and there's the ark. Pharaoh's daughter. If it had been anybody else, they'd have reported it to cops and he'd have been killed. Pharaoh's daughter, man. Looked down and says, "I wonder what that is." And she says, "Go over there and fetch that thing for me." And one of the girls goes over there and gets it. She says, "I don't know what this is. I believe there's something in here." And they open it up. And buddy, as soon as they open up, the Lord says, "Cry, man, cry." And Moses goes, And big old tears started coming down his cheeks. And boy, it was the most pitiful cry you ever heard in your life. And her heart broke, man. That motherly instinct in that woman looked down and says, "Oh, ain't it sweet? Ain't it sweet?" And she picked it up and said, "This is a little Hebrew baby. Bless its heart. Bless it." And the nurse said, "You know what your daddy said? Your daddy said all of them had to die. You better report it to daddy." She said, "Oh, I believe I'm going to ask him, can I keep it?" And they said, "Oh, no, 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 no. Your daddy said they all got to die. Your daddy said they all got to die." She said, "Well, one ain't going to hurt us." Boy, she didn't know what she was saying there, did she? She didn't know that was the one that would lead them out of Egypt one day. She didn't know. She was carrying, "Oh, by the way, can I throw this in here. You ladies in here, you never know what you've got in your arms. You may have the next Billy Sunday sitting in your lap this morning. You may have the next world's great evangelist or a soul winner or a missionary or a great preacher in your lap this morning. Amen. You don't know. She had no idea who that little baby was. And buddy, she went home. She said, "Daddy, you told me I could have anything I want for my birthday, didn't you?" He said, "Yeah, anything you want." She said, "Anything? Yes. What do you want? I mean, you got a brand new camel. It's got all these nice things on it. You wear the best clothes. You wear Chick and Levi and Calvin and Klein and everything. What do you want, honey? Anything you want?" She said, "I'm going to keep this little baby right here. You want a what? I want to keep this baby right here." And finally she talked him into keeping him. And notice the rearing of the child. Moses' sister was watching off in the background. And she followed him down here and watched what would become of the child so she'd go back and tell Mama. And then they took him in there. They took him downtown. Took him to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, "All right. If you're going to raise him right." And they fixed up a big nursery. And they bought Pampers. And I mean little toys from the squeeze. They bought one of them little things you hang over the crib and you wind it up and it goes around and around and around and around out there. So you can just sit there and look at it like that. Around and around. They bought him one of them little chairs you crank up like this and it swings you back and forth. And you know what? Pharaoh's daughter had him there and Moses' sister came in and said, I see you got a Hebrew baby here. Would you like for me to get a Hebrew woman to help you raise it?" They said, "Yeah, well, you know one?" "I sure do." "Well, go tell her to come apply for the job." She goes and tells Mama, "Mama, you're not going to believe it. Glory to God. Your prayers have been answered." Mama says, "What, is he all right? Is he all right? Is he all right? I was going to go down there and check on him. I can't think of nothing else but him." He said, "Mama, he's at Pharaoh's house." "He's at Pharaoh's house. No, no, they're going to kill him." "No, no, Mama. Pharaoh's daughter wants to adopt him. And they want a Hebrew mama to come and take care of him. And want you to go down there and apply for the job." She said, "Glory to God." She got all cleaned up, put her dress on, and went downtown and went to Pharaoh's office and said, I'm the Hebrew lady here. I heard you got a baby here you need to take care of." To make a long story short, he hired Moses' own real mother to raise him right under the devil's nose. And God protected that young man and brought him up, and he became the deliverer of God's people out of Egypt. That's a great mother this morning. What a great mother that would say, "Hey, before my job, before my career, before anything, before my own desires or wants, I'll put everything I've got in raising my boy." And God honored her faith. That was the Nile River he was in. And Mother God brought him out of there. Somebody wrote, "To the River Nile to save her son, hidden amongst reeds and the bulrushes, came one, a praying mother of long ago, breath of God on the bulrushes blow. Faithful mothers with basket beds today send their children, prayer led, into a world of sin and woe, and say, breath of God on the bulrushes blow. From my breast to the breast of the river of life goes my son, life of my life. Pray I with the mother of Moses, O breath of God on the bulrushes blow." As you mothers here this morning see your sons grow up into this wicked world, I hope that you will have the faith of Moses' mother. And one day when we look back, when we have your funeral, we remember you, we'll say that was a great mother. A great mother. Not because of her money, because of her faith. Not because of her popularity, because of her faith. Not because she had a nice car, but because of her faith. God give us some great mothers. Let's stand, bow our heads for prayer. Our heads are bowed. You're getting us a song. I wonder this morning how many mothers here today. First of all, say, "Preacher, the part you talked about the little boy being out there in the bulrushes and God taking care of him, that really helped me because I've got a boy out there somewhere in this world, or a girl, and I'm going to have to trust the Lord. Take care of my boy. Maybe you need to just come this morning and put them on the altar. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a mother and you've got kids, but you're not living for the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest thing you can do for them, ladies, the greatest thing you can do for them will be to completely give your life to the Lord. Be an example. It's bad when mothers have to be begged to church by their kids.